MAEB and its affiliates, visit www.maeb.org.
Listen to Culture City Radio every Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. Each week, take a ride on what's new and exciting in the world of indie music from the best new track from your favorite band. Classical indie tracks you never heard in a long time, some local bands get into the spotlight with their new music, and a three-song look at a new release. So join the lunchtime crowd and listen to Culture City Radio Wednesday from noon to 2 on the only station making waves, WHFR 89.3 FM in Dearborn, and on the web at WHFR.FM.
Neon, Dayglow, flashing lights, special effects. Today's world puts our sense of sight on overload. Luckily, there are places we can go to refocus our senses. Our national wildlife refuges. It's a wonder how much you'll see once all the distractions fade away. You may see a lone eagle soaring past massive snow-capped mountains, or a great horned owl perched stoically on a branch nearby. You may see the furry face of a baby sea otter curiously poking its head out of the dark blue sea, or ancient rocks shaped by centuries of wind. When you see these things, you're seeing the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
The views and opinions expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of this radio station or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today, my special guest is Tricia White. She is a tarot card reader and a medium. Tricia, welcome to the show, and thank you for doing it.
Hello. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I also want to thank you right off the bat for being part of our Festival of Enlightenment. That was, well, a few months ago now, but thank you very much for being a part of that.
It was a good time. We had a great experience. Lots of people I got to talk to, and it was just real enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. So it was positive then, right?
Very much.
Okay, great. Now, obviously, your specialty is tarot cards, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many years have you been doing that?
Ooh, not many. I've been... It starts more with mediumship for me, which started back when I was probably about 24. And now, when I moved to Michigan is really when I got into the tarot reading back in 2004.
Mm-hmm. Moved here from where?
From Colorado.
Oh, okay. Well, was it business that you had to move here for, or?
I met my husband, and I wanted to make the big move.
Yeah, you want to be with them. Very important. I get it, so that's great. But you start with mediumship then, right? I mean, you felt that you were just gifted psychically somehow?
Well, what happened was when I was a kid, we used to have this house, and you could hear the ghost walking up and down a hallway, but you would go out, and there would be, like, nothing there. And then you walk back in your room, and the footsteps would start again. That's how it really started. And then when I was, like, 24 is when I kind of had more of a breakthrough. I had a death of a spouse, and then I saw weird things, like leaves moving, and my stereo volume would go up and down. People would be calling your name. And so I went to go see a psychic, and that's when I was learning that I wasn't different.
Right.
But I had more of an ability to see other things that other people can't.
Mm-hmm. So did anybody else see this ghost in your house when you were a youngster?
My sisters heard it. Nobody ever actually saw the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we all heard it, and we all are still mesmerized by who it was.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find out who it was?
No.
No? Okay. But that was your first inkling that you have some kind of special ability, would you say?
Yeah, probably way back when I was really young. I learned now that with my kids, that sometimes you have like fake friends or imaginary friends,
mm-hmm.
but they're only imaginary to other people. They're not imaginary to you. So I could play by myself and I'd be just fine conversations, and it would be weird to other little kids, but to me it was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see other people there.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about relatives, people like that?
No, just like other little kids like your age, and playing more like dolls. Something really easy. It's not like you're running marathons or doing track with them.
But okay, that would be taxing, but go ahead.
But it was just more like playing dolls, imaginary, making up games. And now it comes in handy with more of like party planning. You can see ahead on what you want done. But back then, you never knew. You were just like, oh, okay, well, mm-hmm. I guess we'll play today.
Yeah, so you can see who's going to be rowdy at a party or something and cut that person off right away. Sorry, no drinks for you, buddy. Nothing personal,
right.
But I've had a vision.
You
know. Anything like that?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Usually when I go back home to Denver, I get a feel for how our trip's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of like that. You just kind of stop and you think about your trip and you kind of think about what you want to do. And then if you could just see it like a little movie playing that mm-hmm. goes before your eyes, and you can tell without big surprises if something's going to go wrong or if it's going to turn out real well or you're going to have testy siblings, that kind of thing that just prepares me better in how to make it cross over to where our vacation is pleasurable instead of real trying.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you get this through meditation or you just see visions or how does that come to you?
You know, a lot of times it just comes when I'm running, when I'm exercising, this flood of information will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's about me, and sometimes more than not, it's more about other people. And if I don't text them right away or get a hold of them, it stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really important, it stays with me. It just comes to me at the oddest times.
Right.
But
you're not really thinking of it consciously. It just comes to you as you're exercising.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like when I exercise, they call it an open portal where, and chakra-wise, it's your third eye is your inside eye or the eye that spirits are be able to communicate through you. And if you open it up, exercise for me opens it up and keeps it open and it keeps everything moving, like the energy keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good energy. So a lot of times if I get information, I'll just, it's when I'm running and I'm not thinking about anything, but I'm not technically meditating. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just one of those, I don't know, for me it's easy. A lot of people it's a little harder, but it just comes to you and you can either choose to ignore it or you can tell the people they belong to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I would imagine that you are probably open at that time. You don't really have any preconceived ideas about a certain person or situation, and as things come to you, you probably accept them like, okay, I am having a vision. You know, what does this mean or what is this about, correct?
Yes, that's a good way to explain it. It is, it's one of those things where you sound weird if you're not talking to the right people. Like, oh, it just came to me, but it's something a little more personal that you wouldn't have no knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody's getting ready to pass, sometimes I can see the spirit will come, for some reason it will come to me. And I'll end up calling that friend either right before or right after that person will pass.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you don't close it, the wrong people can come through, the wrong spirits will come through. But if you don't close it, you never get a break. You'll hear the chatter in your brain and you'll get messages all day long. It's like a little switchboard. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to, like, live your life when that happens.
Right. Well, I would imagine that'd be taxing after a while, too. That would probably wear you out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you do. You get tired. You're mentally strained. Because right. at nighttime is almost the most optimal time for spirits to come into you and speak to you. And because it's like the world is calm type of feeling. So if you don't turn it off at night and you don't get everything out of where that box that you put it in, it'll just keep building up. And it's almost like you have to keep cleaning out this box, and it's the never-ending box.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first realized you were a psychic and you were experiencing some of these things and you went to a psychic yourself, previous to that, did you think you were possibly crazy or you didn't really believe what you were seeing and hearing?
Yeah, because you hear the voice in your head telling you something, and you're wondering if it's you and why you're talking to yourself, because a lot of times it's my own voice. And so you do feel weird. You feel like you almost want to look around, see if anybody else is kind of looking in the air. Mm-hmm. Just really odd. Sometimes ideas that you could have, like, outside of the thinking box of a normal person.
Right. So if you're in a crowd at a shopping mall or something, do you sometimes hear something and you look around like, is somebody talking to me or trying to communicate something to me?
Yes. That's when you have to close it off, because it's too much. There's so many people around you, it almost gets overwhelming. It's like a big weight put right there on you. And you do hear things. Like you hear like the parents kind of communicating to each other. And then you can hear, like, shopping lists. I mean, it sounds crazy to the average person, but you can hear a lot of details, or you can see somebody standing next to them, but they're like the spirit next to the person they used to, like their parent or grandparent, is like walking with them through the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different.
Yeah, different, to say the least, right? Have you ever thought that, wow, this is really, really weird?
Yes.
I mean, where it's almost like I've got to leave right away or anything like that?
Not leave right away. I know when I need to close the door, because mm-hmm. it'll be, you walk by somebody and it's like really negative, and unless you kind of cleanse yourself, it will stay with you. And so you almost take on that person's, like, emotional state. So if they're in a bad place, then you could potentially be in that bad place if you don't know how to shift the energy away from that person.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you give readings as a medium before you start with tarot cards?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to think back.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, my learning experience has been, like, childhood, you heard the things. Then the passing of my spouse kind of came along. And that's kind of when I learned how to do a lot of things, and I learned my abilities, because it was, I went to the medium and they saw the auras, and I had no idea what that was. And then it's explained to you, but you forget because you're not there to see your aura. And so I learned how to trance, which brings your spirit guide into you, and give messages from the spirit side.
Mm-hmm. Real briefly, I just want to take a minute out to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Tricia White. She's a tarot card reader and a medium. Now, one thing I wanted to know, have you ever been, I don't know, really shocked and surprised at some of the things you've seen and heard from spirits?
I've been more shocked that they come to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, why me? Or,
yeah.
What's going on?
Because a lot of times they can go to the person that they love, but if that person's closed off, then they don't get to communicate. And so, yeah, it have been, because they come to you with this very intimate message that either people take, or they go just the opposite, and they're like, how do you know this? Why are you saying this to me? And, you know, I'm just the middleman is how I kind of look
right.
at it.
In other words, the medium.
Yeah, I'm just the medium, you know, I'm just giving you the message. And the last one that was just a little odd was a friend's sister-in-law passed, and she wanted to write a letter like to her sister-in-law, and she would have to do that through me. But trying to explain to somebody who's half believing, half non-believing is really hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to explain to these people, like, I see this girl, she's in a convertible car, her hair's flying in the air, she loves it. But I'm like, I have no idea why this is coming to me or why I have to tell my friend Kim, or do you tell her, you know, to use the black dress, it's fine, don't worry about it, or just kind of leave it alone and see what happens. But yeah, I'm like, you just get the oddest information and you kind of have to deliver it, but you feel a little weird delivering it because it's, to you, it's nothing. To you, it's like, oh, okay, so she wants to wear a dress, put it on her. Mm-hmm. But to a different family, it's a big deal because there could be an argument over what's happening.
Right, but you try to allow for a free choice, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I do is I give them the information and they could do what they want with it. They can either ignore it or they could use it. It's there to use if that's what they believe. Mm-hmm. But if they're uncomfortable with me giving them messages, I have to ask that spirit to not come, because it creeps out families and it causes tension in friendships and a lot of relationships.
Right. Now, you mentioned the death of a spouse, and I don't want to get into it if you don't want to talk about it, but I am curious, did you see this happening before it actually did, or was it perhaps after the fact that, again, you realized you did have psychic abilities and went from there, you know, pursued them from there?
With him, it was a little different because his dad died really early. He was only 46, mm-hmm. and he always said he was going to die early, so... you know, I'm 22, I don't know. I'm like, okay, whatever, you're going to die early. Ha ha ha.
Right.
But he did. He was like, at 27, I'm going to die. And that's when he did die. I had no idea. But immediately afterward, I could see silhouettes walking in the house. And it was just one, but it's creepy enough to just sit there and see some silhouette walk by you or come toward you. That's even creepier. Or have, like, a hand put on your shoulder. And nobody there, you're like, whoa, this is weird.
Mm-hmm. And you feel it was the spouse that was visiting you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to make sure that it wasn't just me. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just a grieving widow. I had a friend come in who also is a medium, and she does trancing. So she kind of looked through the house, and she made sure that there wasn't any bad energy, and she confirmed that it was him. And there mm-hmm. was nothing to be afraid of. And, you know, he just wants to communicate until he goes to this place where they start healing.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel comforted by that information?
I did, because when they die so fast, you don't know anything. You're kind of like shell-shocked.
Right.
So you go through the motions of getting all the preparations and the burial done, and then it just kind of hits you. And after it hits you, you're kind of like, well, I'm hearing things, but this is really weird. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, I'm seeing things. You have these dreams that you don't know if they're real or fake, or like you want to pinch yourself, but you can't because you don't know if you're sleeping or not. Mm-hmm. So, and like at that point, it was kind of becoming where I needed to actually be told, this is where you're at, this is why this is happening, and this is how to fix it. Mm-hmm. And so the medium was able to tell me, this is how you cut, you know, you tell the truth from fiction.
Right. So through this, you got a certain degree of closure in this event?
I did. And I got a lot faster than, you know, the regular old, let's just wait it through grief for your 5 years and be done. Mm-hmm. My main thing was to know that he was in a good place. If I knew he was safe and he was healing and he was going to go to heaven and not find his way to Hades, I was fine. Mm-hmm. there was like hope. And then all these great things started happening. I was going to college. I was doing bodybuilding. I got a great job. And then ultimately, I met my husband, who also has a sixth sense.
Mm-hmm. So you work well together with your current husband?
I do. Mm-hmm. And we do have a spirit that lives in our house. We call him George. And
is this your first husband, or is that something totally different?
Totally different. First husband is gone.
Okay.
And he probably will never be around again.
Mm-hmm.
No, this guy lived there before I even moved in, and we call him George. And and it was an interesting experience because when I had my daughter, we had a cat door, and you could look up the stairs and through the cat door, and you would see these green cargo pants. And for like an instant, I was just mortified that somebody was in my house. You're terrified. Your 1-year-old's upstairs. She's crawling around, and you have this person standing there. So my husband told me that same night that he had a dream a couple of days before about the ghost. And I said, well, does he wear Carhartt green pants? He was like, yeah, he does. So, I mean, he's harmless. He plays his little records in my daughter's room, and that's it.
Okay, so he's a good ghost.
Yeah, there's nothing negative, nothing moving around in midair or anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, after the death of your first husband, did you feel that really accelerated your own psychic abilities?
It did. It kind of made me see that everybody has a choice with religion. And this is where I think my abilities and my gift was kind of cut off, because in religion you're not supposed to believe in psychic abilities and the tarot and witches, and I learned that you draw your own lines and you got to go by your own experiences and your beliefs, because everybody has something different. Everybody has a different gift. They just aren't using them.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that everybody is psychic to a certain degree?
I do. You may not be able to see what I see. You may not be able to hear what I hear, but you know when there's something wrong. You have the sick feeling in your belly, or you have like the hairs on the back of your neck. If you just don't feel like something's right, or if something is wrong, sometimes with a family member, you know immediately. There's no way to explain it. You just call and make sure they're okay. And everybody has it. If you're tied to somebody, you have it.
Right. Well, I believe that dreams, and like you said, that little voice in the back of your head, things like that can tell a person what's going on with their daily life, that perhaps it might be giving them a clue as to what might happen in life. So I think people are psychic in that respect. Not that they would say, well, I think this is going to happen to you, or try to predict world events or anything, but I think they can kind of get a handle on what's going to happen to them, usually on a daily basis.
I would agree. You know, the thing about, like, with all the gifts that people have is that there's free will, because unless you're only dealing with that one person, everything's based on choices. And you're given, like, you either can take choice A or choice B. And if that is connected with another person, they're either going to choose choice A or choice B. And then when things come together easily, then everybody made the choices that they're supposed to make and they're on the path. But there's also choice B, that if one of them would have taken a different choice, your events are going to be altered a little bit. You may get to the same place, but maybe not at the same time that you could have.
Right. Well, again, free choice does play a part, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's based on decisions and karma and what you put into it. So if you're, you know, it's working with the mediumship and the tarot, you have to study and you have to know. You have to know what you're doing, because if you don't, and you're trying to lead people and you really don't know your way either, everybody's going to be in this lost confusion because there's no direction. And not that we're going to run somebody's life, but you can really, really put somebody down a wrong path, because people do believe what you say. And they should, if you're doing it correct and you're honest about it and you really have some integrity. The gifts that you are given, you're going to give to somebody else. And if you have good intentions, then that's also playing a part. But if your intentions are bad and they're greedy, karma's going to come around and get you. That's when you really have to know how to get back on track. So if you're really leading somebody, you almost can't not honestly lead them to the right place that they need to be, because they're there for a reason. You meet people for a reason. You go through your events for a reason. And you're supposed to learn from them and then move to the next event and move, you know, it's always about learning mm-hmm. and growing.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Tricia White. She is a tarot card reader and a medium. Now, we were just talking about coming into people's lives and trying to show them the right path. Has there ever been a time when somebody's gotten upset because they feel that you have led them astray?
Yeah. But also, when that happens, it's usually because somebody else is involved with their situation. So we're going, you know, I'm helping them down their path, but doesn't mean that other person has chosen choice B instead of choice A. And so obviously their lives are going to impact my clients' lives or friends or family.
Mm-hmm. Is there any necessarily right or wrong choice? I mean, they're just choices. How do you feel about that?
You know, there is no wrong choice, because either way, you're here to learn lessons. And so either you're going to learn them the first time around.
The hard way or the easy way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go around the situation again and again and again until you finally realize that you needed to make a different choice. And this usually, for me, it's like the 100th time around, I finally figured it out. I'm on my way. And it may, when you first start, it may seem like it's really hard and you don't understand it. But you almost have to, again, go with the gut and know when you have to make your choices and make changes. Mm-hmm. Change is very hard.
It is. Well, it's hard to change that pattern because it's what you're used to a lot of times. Not that it's right or wrong, but that's what you're used to and that's what you follow.
Right. It's kind of like you're eating. Either you're going to eat healthy or you're going to eat bad. And if you eat healthy, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be skinny. It just means that you're giving your body everything you need. And you generally have a little more energy. You generally have everything. I don't know. It's just, you just feel better. But I've noticed that when I've gone down the path where I'm eating my junk food and tastes good, it feels yeah. good until you get home.
It sure does.
then you're like, oh, I should have just went with the salad instead of that big cheeseburger kind of feeling.
Yeah, well, I never really worry about that. I go with the big cheeseburger every time. Forget the salad. If I eat a salad, I'm afraid my body's going to go into shock. Because, you know, it's all that good stuff. It doesn't know what to do with it. You know, it wants the sugar, the grease, the fat, all that bad stuff. So I try to stay away from the healthy stuff. But it's great that you try to eat healthy, though, on a consistent basis, right?
I do, because it also helps. The less extra chemicals and junk I have in my system, the better medium I am. Because it sounds a little weird, sounds a little hokey, but it is. The more you're back to nature, the better you feel yourself, the better readings you're gonna give. Because if you got lots of toxins, things just tend to stay there with all the toxins. But mm-hmm. if you clean yourself out and you're, I'm like, you don't always have to be healthy, but a lot right. of times that's when I get my better messages and my more concrete is when I just stay on track.
Mm-hmm. So you feel the channels are clearer when you eat healthier.
Yeah. It's like they're opened up. You're just with all the extra chemicals in our world, and I don't buy everything organic, but it seems like I feel better and I feel more clear-headed when I'm doing things or when I'm given a reading.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of time, you know, you don't have a lot of time to sit there and and like cover your stomach and try to read your cards. You really have to concentrate, and I figure cleaning is going to be clean out information for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. So you try to have your kids eat healthy and all that good stuff?
I try.
Yeah, Not always easy, especially with those TV commercials and everything going on.
Well, you know, McDonald's and the chicken nuggets. My son won't eat a lot, but he'll eat the nuggets. So.
Yeah, right. Well, at least he gets fed, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, when you give a reading, if somebody comes to you as a medium or to talk to you as a medium, what do you tell them? How do you go about discerning information about them? Do you have clients that come to you on a regular basis?
I do, and I also have friends that are mediums that ask questions, too. They'll call and say, what do you get when you hear this? Or what do you see when you see my dog, if they're sick? And initially, I'll tell them, like, mediumship-wise, what I get. I'll be like, well, I see this person because I can do something called remote viewing. So if you're talking about your grandmother, I should be able to see her just from the gifts that I have. I can see her, and I can describe a person to you without ever meeting them. And then I'll get my tarot cards out, I'll shuffle them, and I'll lay out the Celtic cross and give them their message, hopefully answering all the questions and giving them some advice from, not from me, but through mm-hmm. the cards.
Right, from the spirit, so to speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're just a conduit for whatever comes through you, whatever information you receive, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when you use tarot cards, you mentioned the Celtic cross, I believe it is?
Yes.
Is that the basic design, I think? Isn't that the basic design when somebody uses tarot cards, or no?
That's a harder spread to learn. How I learned was you had to do one card, and then after you mastered being able to read the one card, then you had a three-card spread, which is like morning, noon, night, past, present, future. And then you move on to the seven-card spread, which is the two people who are in it, the actual event, and the outcome. And then you go to the Celtic cross. And a lot of people do know the Celtic cross because it's shown like in the movies. But what I'm really learning is that everybody has their own way of doing it. So somebody might use the cross, and then you'll see like a whole mess of cards to the side because they're answering questions or they're laying more things out, answering like unspoken questions. Sometimes they're like, oh, but if I ask this question, and they lay three more cards out, and then they can get more information doing that. I use a cross, and then I just start putting down like the environment, their emotional status, the outcome, what's hindering it, if there's any thought processes that could possibly be changed. And then if they have questions, I just lay three cards down and I tell them which in each position what they mean. And which is, you have to know what each card stands for when you do that. So I took classes to do this. So I took classes and I understood the meanings of each card. And there's 78 cards in the deck.
Mm-hmm. So you took different classes to actually learn this along with reading books, things like that?
I've been really lucky. I haven't really had to read the books. Mm-hmm. It's come real natural for me. What I'll do is I took the classes and it was really hard because you couldn't use your psychic abilities to do a reading. You had to read from each card's meaning in the place that it was in, because each place has a different meaning in your spread. You had to read exactly what it was without the extra sixth sense that you've been gifted with.
Mm-hmm. But now on your own, you do, you know, your own interpretation, whatever psychic messages you're receiving when you do the cards, just not reading the cards verbatim per se, you also give your psychic opinion, so to speak?
I do. And a lot of times people want to know like names. And so when I'm telling them like, oh, you're going to meet this person and he's got, based on which card it is, he's got these abilities. He's this personality. And they'll be like, well, what's his name? And sometimes it's really clear, like they'll come through and it'll be like Dan or Don or David or, but then sometimes you'll hear the first letter, but the rest of the name, you almost are stumbling through, but as long as you have the first letter, the person you're reading will generally be like, oh yeah, that's Ethan. And you're like, okay, well, Ethan is the person you need to be talking to. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. But I do use my psychic abilities because that's where I get, you know, if a spirit really wants to get through, they're going to get through the cards, and they're going to show you, well, this event is going to come up, and this could be the person that you're going to be dealing with. Just be careful. Try not to be deceived, type of thing. Because what they could be selling you is great, but everything they want to sell you is not what you need. It's a waste of money, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do people come to you with one specific question, or do they just come for a regular general type reading?
You usually have questions or situations that they're trying to deal with, and they don't have a direction. Or somebody's sick and they want to make sure that they're going to be better. You know, nobody wants to hear that their family member or friend are going to pass away. So they want to come to somebody who can say, oh, well, you know, it's going to take some time and, you know, they are going to get better type of situations. But a lot of times they do have something in mind, and sometimes they won't tell you. So they'll shuffle the cards and they'll be dead silent. And through your reading and your gifts and your abilities, you're able to tell them what they need to know and want to know without them actually telling you what they want to know.
Mm-hmm. So when they come to you, do you just hand them the deck of cards and tell them to shuffle it and cut them any way they want, or how does that work?
That's exactly what I tell them. I tell them to shuffle until they feel like they don't want to shuffle anymore. They can tell me their question, or we can lay down the spread, and I can try to answer the questions through the spread, and then if they have additional questions, we can answer those.
Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, this takes how long? Maybe 2-3 minutes? Or can it take, I don't know, 10, 15, whatever?
Mine take a long time because I'm more slow about it. I want to answer your questions. I want to make sure that what you were wanting is what you're going to get. Even if the answer is not what you want, at least I've covered it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my readings last, I don't know, about 30 to 40 minutes, if not longer, depending on the person and how much information I get. They can last 5-10 minutes, depending on what your spread is. But I'm much more accurate with the Celtic Cross because I can ask more questions and I can get more answers, and then I can do some events just to go along the way, because usually the events that I do on the side are either already starting to happen, or the person already knows the people in the events that will be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So mine lasts a little longer than the average, but mine aren't as expensive as, you know, if you go to a different place,
right?
An establishment.
Right. So when you do a reading and you do come across some information indicating that, you know, maybe a relationship is going to end, perhaps a life is going to end, how do you handle telling people bad news or seemingly bad news?
Generally, they have an idea before they get there that it's bad news. Generally, they do. I'd be as gentle as possible. And you also, I don't believe that every reading has to be like somebody's dying, and that there's no positive outcome, because there's so much negativity surrounding us daily that sometimes they just haven't looked at it in a different way. So I give them the information as kindly as I can, and but I also try to be. My readings are usually really positive surrounding that one area, because if a relationship's going to end, usually over here in my events, means that that relationship was supposed to end and that person was good for you because you learned something, but you're going to be meeting somebody else over here.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you got to be patient. You got to heal yourself and take care of yourself. That's generally what ends up happening, is that they're not caring for themselves. So you have to remind them, you know, you're important too. You need to carry you. You've been putting so much energy into this that you're exhausted. You're tired. You don't feel good about yourself type of feelings sometimes. And it's, you know, they're great people. I've met all great people, and everybody who has had something bad happen, generally there's a reason, and something good happens not far along following it.
Right. So that's what you try to stress, is the positive ramifications somewhere down the line, that things are going to work out. Things are going to be okay.
Right. I mean, even with death, I haven't actually had to tell somebody, you know, be careful, this person, you know, could be close to their time, say your goodbyes. I've never had to do that. And I don't think I would say that. A lot of times when you're given a reading, if you're given a true reading, you're not going to remember exactly what you say, and you're not going to remember a lot of what you say. The person who you're reading will remember should remember what you say. But I've never had to do that so far, because I think that would stick with me. But all the readings I've given have been, something good is coming. You know, you're a good person. You do good things. You follow the rules. It's your turn now, because everybody has a good turn for good things to come to them. They've put out so much that, you know, when you put out good things will come back to you.
Mm-hmm. What goes around comes around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Tricia White. She's a tarot card reader and a medium. Now, I was just curious, you know, you talked about this a little bit earlier, but when you do give a reading and it takes a while to set it up, is there ever a time where you're totally baffled, maybe you're not really receiving anything, you're not getting anything, you're looking at the cards but nothing's coming to you? Has that ever happened to you?
It does, and what it usually means for me is that card is important, but I need to cover a couple more things first, because that card will be tied in later to something different. And it's usually a person or a place. That's usually when I have to tie it into something, and I'm like, I'm not getting what this person is for, but I know that he's important because he has these qualities. And then later, it always comes back to later, he will be incorporated, or she will be incorporated into some other part of that person's life.
Right. So initially, you look at something and it doesn't fit in with what that person wants to know at that time. Again, like you say, you have to work it in to make it all fit together so it makes sense to you and your client.
Yes, and you don't force it. If I've never had this happen, but I know what I would do. I would ask the questions, and I would start putting more cards down to reference that particular person, because it obviously that person will be important. And the guides will only tell you so much. Like, you're never going to know the lotto numbers. You're never going to know the right account number.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff won't come through. But if there's somebody in your cards, it's for a reason. And if you try to force it and make it look like you're really trying to work it, then you're really not credible, because you just haven't given it enough time. And it will be a stop. For me, it's a very much stop. Like, nothing comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll sit there and I'll ask questions over and over again. And if nothing comes, I'll just keep going. And I'll tell them, we're coming back to this card because this is important. And I just have to put it in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that can be frustrating at times, correct?
Yeah. It's more frustrating when you're reading somebody that you know or you've read before, because they're not expecting that from you. And if it's family, they're automatically, you know, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I knew it. Kind of, you know, you see that look on their face. And then when you keep going and you finish the reading and you've tied that person in, it's almost like a shock kind of look on the face. But if I'm reading you, which I've never read you before, you kind of wouldn't know, like, that I needed to move on and go through the rest of the cards, because I will have already tied that person in before you were like, hey, what about that prong? Mm-hmm. It would have already been put somewhere, placed mm-hmm. in its right spot.
Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to you with a certain question, they want to know about something, has it ever happened where you get something that overrides whatever that question is? There's something that is more important that you've got to tell that person, or you have to discuss with that person rather than go right to the question or even get to that question the person came to you for originally?
Yes, it does. It happens all the time because people don't want you in their intimate life. So what they're going to ask you is something pretty basic and really, really don't care about what they're asking. They're just going to see if you know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the Celtic cross is the person that you're reading, and then the card that crosses them is what's crossing them. The one directly below is the one you're really what you want to know. And that card is generally the card that they're like, whoa, and kind of, how did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it kind of comes out. And you can answer their basic question, but you also can put their mind at ease if it's really having some trouble of figuring out how to handle things.
Mm-hmm. So you've surprised a few people like that?
I love doing that, yes.
Really, yes. Just to look at their face. Makes your day sometimes?
It does, because, you know, when you do a reading, it's just, you never know what's going to come up. That's why when they say the palm readers, when you first start out reading the palms, everybody's hands are out. But once the palm reader starts reading the hands, if they, you know, people are getting real personal, they'll start closing their hands because they don't want that person to know their information. And that's kind of the way it is with the cards. But once you lay out the cards, you really, it's not like my family can pick it up and say, oh, not that one.
Yeah, I don't like that card. I like this one because it represents this or whatever, which they think is more positive or whatever.
Right. And some of the cards can be a little deceiving because they just look horrifying. And you're like terrified when you first see it. You're like, oh, no, it's the death card. Oh, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying. And really, it does not mean that. It just means transformation. Or it
can be change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like that. And like the picture can be very deceiving as to what the card actually means.
Right.
But
that's the 13 card, isn't it?
The
is
death?
That the card? Is that number 13?
You know what? I don't know the numbers of the cards anymore. I just put them down and I might.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do know of them is just what you said, though. I mean, when you look at the picture itself, it looks perhaps negative. But if you go to the underlying meaning, it really can be positive. You know, it can mean something totally different, like just like the death card means change. It could be a positive change coming in your life. An old life dies, a new life begins.
That's right. And it also depends on where it's at in your spread. Because it could be something alerting you. It could be something saying, good job. It could be so many different things that the pictures. I have a very gentle deck. And so when you see my pictures.
What do you mean by gentle?
It's not like some of them are very graphic and, you know, there's the death card and then there's the tower card or there's some just like skulls on the pictures. Mine are really, it's the Jundron cards, and they're just very gentle. They're pastels. Some are angels. They're flowery. Not that every reading is like that, but you don't freak out so much when you see those cards.
Right. It doesn't look like death and destruction with every card, right?
And I think that's important, too. How somebody presents their cards
mm-hmm.
is very big, because mine is I don't want to see the world as horrible. Although there are bad things out there, I think there's lots of great things out there. And so that's kind of like, my friend gave me this deck of cards. It was easy to read, and I learned it just like the back of my hand so fast. And so I love those cards. I've tried to use other ones, and that doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stuck on the ones I have because they're more my personality.
Right. So that helps, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to have the right cards, because the right cards for me might not be the right cards for you. You might like the pictures better on some more of the graphic cards than I would. But ultimately, if you and I were going to read the same person and they had the same questions, we would come up with some very similar readings just because of the person and what they want to know.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody's shuffling the cards before you even, you know, start dealing the cards, are you already perceiving certain things about that person? Are things coming to you before you actually even see any cards?
They do. A lot of times I'll have to start out with psychically, this is what I'm hearing, but I want to confirm it, and we're going to put out your cards, and we're going to see how that will turn out. But I'll see people, I'll see places, I'll see animals. Sometimes you see children, sometimes you just see a field, and you really don't know why you're hearing or seeing these things until it actually presents itself in the right spot of where you're supposed to start. Oh, that's where this belongs, is this field. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. If you used to go to this field when you were a kid, and that kind of, you know, a lot of times it's more associations for the people more than myself.
Mm-hmm. But if you are picking up things psychically and you see the cards and nothing seems to match, has that ever happened to you where you really can't find a connection somehow?
No, it usually matches.
Mm-hmm.
Because either their guide or somebody else is there wanting to direct that specific conversation. And they don't want to give them too much information to where they're not going to learn and grow as a person, but they want to give them enough to give them some direction if they're really having trouble and they're spinning their wheels, so to speak, and they're just standing still, not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Now, generally speaking, each and every day, are you able to shut down your psychic ability? I mean, I know you say that sometimes things come to you, you're not expecting it, things like that. Is there a time when you can just shut things down and just totally relax and not think about that? Because I would imagine that could wear you out eventually, right? Like we said before.
Right. You know, I do. I have to shut it down during the day. A lot of times I have to shut it down because of my kids. I have to focus on them. I can't focus on getting information. You know, I can't have that switchboard going off 24/7. So I'll switch it off, but it comes naturally, it just comes back on from like 3 to 5. And that's generally a good time because everybody's doing what they want to do, resting, or my kids are playing together, or just it's a good time because I'm probably doing dishes.
The really important stuff. Huh?
Right. It's usually when it's like brainless activities that that they know that they can come through.
Right.
And then I have a word to make it go away. And I don't know if I can say it on here.
Okay. It's not a four-letter word, is it?
No. No.
Okay, is it?
It was from a movie that I saw. I think it was called Couples Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when the friend tries to break into the other friend's house to convince him to go on the retreat so that him and his wife don't get a divorce. And the code to that guy's house when the alarm is like blaring and going off is outside. And
okay. All right.
That's what I tell, if I need to cut it off and I can't, it's overload, it's too much, then that just immediately cuts it off. I'm done. And so I keep that in the back of my mind. So when it starts getting busy at 5, that just naturally comes in my brain. And I'm making dinner, I'm taking care of the kids, we're reading, we're playing bingo or go outside riding bikes. Just
Right. Well, I think that's when things can come through, when you're not really thinking about it. Because sometimes when you try to concentrate on something and really think about something, I think that kind of cuts you off because you're putting so much stress on yourself. I just don't mean you, but I mean people in general. Whereas if you're just, like you said, not thinking about anything seriously, things just come to you, you know, like, oh, I should buy that car or whatever it might be, something you've been thinking about, and the answer comes to you seemingly out of the blue.
Right. I kind of did it the other day. I was thinking about my friend and her sister's pregnant, and earlier, like a month earlier, she asked me if I knew what she was having, and I was like, ah, I kind of see both colors. So I'm driving, and I'm by myself, and I, you know, I don't, when I drive by myself, my music's loud, I'm not focusing on anything more than just driving, and the all of a sudden it was, oh, I wonder how my friend's doing. Oh, but her sister's pregnant. Oh, it's really good she got married before she got pregnant. And then all of a sudden I knew what she was having because I could see the color. So then you type your friend, you're like, oh, she's having a girl.
Yeah, no big deal, right?
Right, and that's it. That's how it can easily get into you, and it can easily start ruling what you do daily. And so when you say it is taxing when you don't cut it off, I have to cut it off when I go to bed, and I have to cut it off when I'm really taking care of my kids, because you're not taking care of your kids if you're do full mediumship or
right.
Or you have an inkling that something's wrong, so you're like throwing down cards frantically. You can't do that all day because then you almost, if you're thinking about it too hard, you almost feel like you're skewing any outcome, or if any information comes through, you're wondering if it's, oh, I'm thinking about it so hard, I want it to be this way. Or I'm thinking about it, I want it to be another way. How can I make it from this way to this way? And so you can't change everything. You can always give choice A and choice B, but you can't always fix it.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
You could call my cell phone at 313-404-5957 or email me at InTheCards, and that's InTheCards, tarot@gmail.com.
And that's all small case?
That's all small case.
Okay. Now, how much do you generally charge for each reading?
I generally charge about $20 a reading, no matter how long it takes. Just because I like to, from the very beginning to the very end, give you as much information as I can so that you feel like you got what you paid for.
Mm-hmm. Have you done readings over the phone, anything like that?
I do. I can do readings over the internet and over the phone. I've joined this group. It's called Tarot Town. And you can sign up to be a reader, and then people randomly will pick your name. And they'll ask you to do a reading. They'll give you their name and their date of birth. And that's all you have. I've been very fortunate that my gifts have been really strong, and I can give very good, precise readings.
Really? Even through just seeing information on the computer, you can get accurate information?
Right. Yep. If you really, it takes a slight more focus, but if you can focus enough to get the remote viewing, for me, is seeing the person. If I can see the person I'm shuffling the cards to whenever they say stop. And it's all, you know, they're not technically there because some people are in India, some people are in London, some people could be down the street, I don't know.
Right.
I just generally do the readings and I'm done. But I visually see their face, and I can hear them say stop shuffling or cut the cards or tell me what I want to know type of things. And that's when they said, like, okay, you can stop, that's when I start, you know, putting out their spread. And it takes a little longer because you got to type everything out, but it's just as accurate.
Mm-hmm. How long does that take?
Oh, that takes around an hour to be able just to do that and focus on just that and type it out.
Right. That's the time-consuming part, right?
And also sometimes it gives you a little more information on this when you're typing it out, because you're like, oh, that just came to me. Sometimes a little more information will follow up what you generally had read.
And you say your husband has psychic abilities himself, so you get along quite well.
We do. Deja vu is his thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, sometimes people don't accept it, and they could, you know, cause another person grief, that's all.
Well, it was weird when I saw I woke up one night, and I saw some lady holding his hand. I'm like, clear as day. Like, you're sitting there. She was that far away from me. And she was holding his hand, and she was talking to him. And I, like, stared at him. I kept staring because I was like, this can't be real. This can't be real. But I'm like, I was awake. I knew I was awake. And then when she was done, she got up and she left. I'm like, she wasn't a real person, but she was there.
Mm-hmm. You could feel her being there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I could see her. Right. And of course, my husband has zero knowledge of that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good, right? You didn't tell him at all?
No, I told him. Oh. I'm like, did you have a strange dream last night? Because I saw a lady holding your hand talking to you. So, but it wasn't like she was talking out loud. It was interesting. It was, mm-hmm. She was just talking like to him, like in his ear type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tricia, thank you very much for being part of the show this month. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to thank my guest for this month's edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Tricia White. I do appreciate the fact she was able to come in and do the show. Also, being a participant for our Festival of Enlightenment, that was always a great thing, and I'm glad she was able to do that as well. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. He always does a lot. I really appreciate all his help. Be sure to come back next month, Tuesday, August 16th, for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, everybody.
This is an official station of the MAEB. The Michigan Association of Educational Broadcasters was formed in 1977 to support your local high school and college radio stations. These stations serve the community and create alternative programming. But most importantly, they discover and train the next generation of broadcasters. For more information on the MAEB and its affiliates, visit www.maeb.org.
Hey, WHFR listeners, I'm Dennis.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're your hosts for a new talk show here at Henry Ford Community College called HFCC's Campus Connection.
That's right. From 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month, Dennis and I will cover the news, issues, and events here on the campus of HFCC and talk about how they relate to the surrounding communities.
Basically, we bring you all the news we think you want to know about our college and our station, WHFR.
We talk about the fantastic restaurant we have right here on campus.
And upcoming performances of HFCC plays and musicals.
We'll even keep